Hi, everybody. Welcome to our show. This is English Digest, and I'm Tom.
Hi, I'm Stephanie.
Today, we're going to be talking about our featured short story in our literature unit entitled The Lottery by Shirley Jackson. I had to be careful when I said Shirley Jackson there because I confuse her with Kate Jackson, who was an actress during the 70s. I think she was on
Charlie's Angels.
That's another Jackson girl. But this is Shirley Jackson, an author who actually died in 1965. She was actually quite young when she died. And today we're actually going to be talking about the life and times of Shirley Jackson. And it doesn't sound like she had a very happy life,
no.
And so I guess it's not surprising that she would write a story as depressing as The Lottery. But we also need to emphasize that there's a reason she wrote this book, and it was controversial, and it can be applied to modern life in many ways.
Okay, guys, we're going to go ahead and read through our lesson, and then we'll be back to talk about author Shirley Jackson. American author Shirley Jackson was born in San Francisco, California, in 1916. She was raised in a verbally abusive household. As a result, she developed low self-esteem. She channeled her fears and insecurities into her writing. After graduating from university with a degree in English, she started publishing her short stories. Jackson got married and had children, and her family moved to the small town of North Bennington, Vermont. She obtained a teaching position at a local college and continued to write on the side. However, life in this conservative town didn't suit Jackson, and she never felt that she fit in there. The locals disliked her because she smoked and drank to excess, and parents claimed she was too demanding and strict with her students. There were even rumors that Jackson was a witch because she was deeply interested in black magic and witchcraft. Jackson drew on these nerve-wracking experiences of isolation when she wrote The Lottery in 1948. Upon publication, the story sent shockwaves throughout the country. She began receiving lots of hate mail as her critics demanded that she explain what the story meant. Jackson replied that the story's purpose was to draw attention to the violence and cruelty that we ignore and even come to expect in our daily lives. Jackson went on to publish 6 novels, several plays, and a few children's stories. In her later years, Jackson suffered from anxiety attacks. In 1965, she died of a heart attack when she was just 48 years old. After her passing, respect and admiration for her work continued to grow. Literary legends such as Stephen King and Neil Gaiman have called her a profound influence on their own writing.
It's time now, everybody, to discuss our lesson for today, part 2 of The Lottery You Don't Want to Win, referring specifically to The Lottery, a short story by Shirley Jackson. Well, who was Shirley Jackson? Well, American author Shirley Jackson was born in San Francisco, California, in 1916. Okay, so this is the city by the bay. It's considered one of the most beautiful cities in the world. So what could go wrong with Shirley Jackson's life if she was born in San Francisco way back in 1916? Well, I'll tell you why it wasn't so great, because in 1916, the Golden Gate Bridge had not been constructed yet, and neither had the Bay Bridge for that matter, nor the Transamerica Pyramid. So I guess it was pretty depressing in San Francisco at that time.
Okay, Tom is just joking, of course. It was quite a while ago that she was born, so some of those things had not been constructed. But, Tom, that's not why she was depressed, you ding-dong. It says in the second sentence, she was raised in a verbally abusive household. That's a bad thing for anybody. It wasn't, you know, something where her father would beat her or mother beat her. If someone's verbally abusive, they tell you you're stupid, you're no good, you can't do anything. They can't believe you're alive. And so as a result, she developed very low self self-esteem. If you have low self-esteem, you don't believe in yourself. You don't believe you can accomplish anything. You just don't have any self-confidence.
Exactly. So we don't know if it was the dad yelling at her or the mother or both or brothers and sisters, but it was a verbally abusive household. So she had low self-esteem. She wasn't very confident, and she channeled her fears and insecurities into her writing.
I wanted to mention we say verbally abusive as opposed to physically abusive. So verbally just means with your mouth, with your words, and then physically would mean someone's actually hitting you.
Okay, so it was verbally abusive, but that's still pretty bad.
It's horrible.
And, yeah, it's not such a great environment to grow up in. So we could probably say that she did not have a happy childhood.
Right.
And so as a result, she channeled her fears and insecurities into her writing. And, yes, indeed, this is probably sort of her security blanket. She probably had a diary and a journal, so she channeled her fears and insecurities into her writing. She basically talked about them when she was writing. In this particular sentence, we have the word channel, which as a verb means you kind of direct something in the direction of, to channel something into something. So she basically talked about the things that she was afraid of and why she had low self-esteem. That would be your insecurities, which refers to things that you're not confident about in yourself. Oh, I can't do that. I'm no good at sports. Nobody likes me. I have no friends, etc., etc. Those are your insecurities.
Well, after graduating from university with a degree in English, she started publishing her short stories. A short story is probably about, 100 to 150 pages long. It's not as long as a novel. They're much shorter. But a lot of writers actually start out with short stories or even actually excel at writing short stories.
Actually, some people underestimate the difficulty of short stories.
Oh, they're hard, yeah.
Yeah, you've got to get everything right in a very short amount of time, whereas a novel you can probably write as long as you want to.
Yeah, you can waste some words.
200 pages, 500 pages, what's the difference? But a short story has to be a specific length. Mm-hmm. So she started publishing those short stories after she got a degree in English. Then she got married and had children, and her family moved to the small town of North Bennington, Vermont. Vermont is in New England. I almost said New Zealand. New England, which is north of Boston there, and it's very beautiful there in the fall.
Yeah.
And Vermont, we should say, though, Vermont is probably quite different from San Francisco. San Francisco is a very progressive, multicultural city in California, and now she's moving to basically a very conservative little country town in Vermont.
Yeah, Vermont itself doesn't even have a million people in it. Mm. So it's a tiny, tiny state. It's on the border with Canada. It is beautiful, though, but it was very different from the place where she grew up, San Francisco. She obtained a teaching position at a local college and continued to write on the side. To obtain just means to get. She went after it and got it. She probably had to apply, was interviewed. So she acquired that. She secured a teaching position and then continued to write on the side. On the side just means in her free time, in her spare time. You can also go to a restaurant and order something on the side. Maybe it doesn't come with the dish that you're ordering. For example, there's a restaurant in Taiwan. I love their mashed potatoes. And it doesn't matter what I order. I always get mashed potatoes on the side. So they deliver that or serve that separately from the dish I order.
Or you often use this term to get something in a restaurant that is usually included with that thing, but you want them separate. Like, for example, if you ordered mashed potatoes, oftentimes they put the gravy on there anyway. Mm. You could say, well, I want the mashed potatoes, but could I have the gravy on the side? In other words, I want to put on the amount that I prefer as opposed to the amount that you guys put on.
Or with salad. They often put too much dressing on the salad. So
yes, I'd like those,
you can
the
get
dressing
the dressing on the side.
On the side.
Separate container.
Mm. Exactly. And so in this particular case, though, like a lot of people in the arts, if you want to make it as an artist or as a musician or whatever, you often have to do these things on the side, which I believe was your case.
I did that too. When I first lived in New York, I worked during the day and then I was auditioning and singing on the side until I got my first gig.
Right, and this is something they often tell you, well, don't quit your daytime job.
Okay? Your day job, yeah.
Your day job. So indeed, sometimes you just have to do these things on the side. It's
true.
Very difficult to support yourself as a writer or an artist or a musician or whatever.
True.
So yes, indeed, she got that teaching position. She taught during the day, and then when she got home and fed the kids and put them to bed, then she got out the typewriter and tried to write some short stories and get them published. Mm-hmm. Now, moving on to the next paragraph here, it says, however, life in this conservative town didn't suit Jackson, and she never felt that she fit in there. And I can relate to that, having come from a small town in the Midwest. Not that it's necessarily conservative, but that it's very small, and your opportunities are somewhat limited. And so you might feel that you just don't fit in. You don't belong there. You're not like the people there. You just don't want to go down to the local bingo hall every Friday night and play bingo or go fishing on Saturday in the nearby river and stuff like that. You're just not into that kind of stuff. And this particular case, conservative could mean politically conservative, but it could also be referring to people who just don't want to try new things. They're set in their ways and they just are kind of dull and boring as a result.
Yeah, and she just never felt like she was home. The locals disliked her. The people who lived there disliked her because she smoked and drank to excess. If you do something to excess, it means you do too much of it. Too much then is desirable or permitted or necessary. And parents claimed she was too demanding and strict with her students. Remember, she taught at the local college. If you're demanding, you want a lot from the person that you're having dealings with. Maybe you're requiring too much. Maybe your standards are really, really high. But I don't think a demanding teacher is a bad thing myself. And to be strict just means you have a lot of rules you expect to be followed.
Yeah, I can imagine back then they considered her demanding then, and nowadays teachers basically give first prize awards to every student, and you're not supposed to call them names and stuff. Well, you're not really supposed to, but you're supposed to reward the good students and not so much reward the mediocre ones.
Uh-huh.
Nowadays we kind of celebrate mediocrity, but that's kind of another subject. But in any case, the parents thought that she was too demanding and too strict with her students. Come on, these are not military cadets, okay? These are just kids in this little conservative Vermont town. You're not training them to be athletes or soldiers in World War I or something like that. So anyway, that's where we're going to take a break now and continue talking about the life and times of Shirley Jackson and how she eventually came to write our featured story, The Lottery. But right now we're going to take a break, and please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Hello, 大家好，我是 Trevor， 欢迎收听 English Digest。今天我们要阅读的文章是文学单元 Unit 12的第二天课程。在今天的文章中，我们将会知道 The Lottery 作者 Shirley Jackson 的生平背景，以及为何作者会创作这篇短篇故事。文章的第一段提到，作者 Shirley Jackson 出生于一个充满言语暴力的家庭，他在结婚后搬到一个小镇，并在此担任教师。首先我们看到第一段的第二句， She was raised in a verbally abusive household. As a result, she developed low self-esteem. 她在一个会言辞辱骂的家庭长大，因此她逐渐产生低自尊心。本句有一个形容词 abusive， 意思是辱骂的、施虐的。 Verbally abusive 就是指用言语施虐的。Abusive 的名词是 abuse， A-B-U-S-E， 有辱骂、虐待的意思。片语 shout， scream， abuse at somebody 就是指辱骂某人。例如 It is not appropriate for a teacher to shout abuse at a student， 老师辱骂学生并不适当。此外 abuse 也有滥用的意思。 Drug abuse就是药物滥用或是滥用毒品的意思。例如 In recent years, the number of people who died from drug abuse has been increasing. 最近几年来吸毒致死的人数一直在增加。文章的第二段提到 Jackson 在这个保守的小镇中和当地人相处的不好，他将这种痛苦被隔离的经验写成 The Lottery， 希望人们能注意到我们日常生活中被忽略的暴力和残忍行为。我们跳到第二段第二句的后半部分， And parents claimed she was too demanding and strict with her students， 而父母们也声称她太苛求并且对她的学生太严格。 Demanding 是形容词，意思是苛求的，要求高的，动词和名词则为 demand， 要求的意思。要注意的是，当动词 demand 后面加 that 名词子句的时候，子句里的动词要用 should 加原形动词， should 可以省略。像文章第二段倒数第二句中， She began receiving lots of hate mail as her critics demanded that she explain what the story meant。 当她的评论者要求她解释故事意涵的时候，他开始收到许多恐吓信。本文的 demand 便是这样的用法，所以 that 子句里的 explain 不用过去式，而是用原形动词，因为前面省略了助动词 should。 类似的动词还有 insist insist 坚持， require require 要求， command command 命令，suggest suggest 建议等等。例如 The host insisted that we stay for dinner， 主人坚持我们留下来吃晚餐。
We're going to take a quick break. Stay tuned, we'll be right back. Welcome back, guys. We're talking about American author Shirley Jackson and her life story. She had a very sad childhood. It was difficult. She was in a verbally abusive household. It affected her self-esteem and her confidence. But she used her writing to kind of get that out, I think, inside her. A lot of artists have sad childhoods or have difficult times growing up, and then they use that for material later on, whether they're comedians or authors. Well, she ended up living in Vermont with her husband and kids, but she felt like the locals really didn't like her. She smoked too much. She drank too much alcohol. The parents thought she was too demanding and strict as a college teacher. There were even rumors that Jackson was a witch.
Ooh.
Whoa. Because she was deeply interested in black magic and witchcraft. That's gaining a lot of popularity in the world today, black magic and witchcraft. So you use spells and to come up with these, you know, this black magic, I guess, and you put spells on people to hurt them. I guess that's the black magic.
Satanism and all that silly stuff. But back then she was into this sort of stuff. She read maybe articles about that. And Jackson drew on these nerve-wracking experiences of isolation when she wrote The Lottery in 1948. My goodness, sometimes I wonder, do we all need these kinds of conflicts in our lives to be a good writer or a good artist? If things go really well for us, we're just going to be really boring people with never anything to say. But in any particular case here, she was kind of feeling isolated there, which means by herself. She didn't fit in. She probably didn't have any friends. And these are also nerve-wracking experiences. Nerve-wracking means it kind of does things to your nervous system for whatever reason. If you're in the army fighting in a war, it can be a very nerve-wracking experience. Or if you're a police officer trying to enforce the traffic rules here and everybody disobeys them, that can be quite nerve-wracking as well.
Well, she drew on or used those nerve-wracking experiences of being alone and feeling isolated when she wrote The Lottery. Now, upon publication, the story sent shockwaves throughout the country. I remember when I first read the summary of the plot, I was like, are you kidding me? They stone these people? I was a little shocked, so I can imagine back then in 1948 when the book was published that people were like, what in the world? This is a crazy story. What's going on? She began receiving lots of hate mail. Today, instead of sending hate mail, people will post hate messages on Twitter and Instagram and all those things on Facebook. So she had a lot of critics who would post really mean things about her. They also demanded that she explain what the story meant. Why are you killing people by stoning in this little village?
Yeah, this is a peaceful, loving, God-fearing nation, the United States. How could you possibly imply that this could happen here? So please explain yourself. What are you trying to say here? Are you a communist or something like that? And Jackson replied that the story's purpose was to draw attention to the violence and cruelty that we ignore and even come to expect in our daily lives. Now, she does have a point there. We all try to think that we're all peaceful, we're all okay, we don't do anything wrong. Yet, we kind of stand aside when we see that school bully picking on someone in school, and this happens all the time, all around us, and there's also other cruelty to children, to animals, to the elderly, etc. This stuff is going on all the time, but we kind of just ignore it. So she wanted to draw attention to this to get people to admit, hey, this is going on. Pull your heads out of the sand.
Jackson went on to publish 6 novels, several plays, and a few children's stories. So that was her, her literature there. 6 novels, several plays, and children's stories. In her later years, Jackson suffered from anxiety attacks. Anxiety attacks are pretty serious. Someone's heart will start beating really fast. They get very nervous, anxious. It's typically because they're uncertain about what's going to happen in the future, or maybe you're afraid to go to the dentist like I am, and you get anxiety attacks, and you just can't calm down or be peaceful. She suffered from these anxiety attacks as she got older.
And those are common, too. My mother-in-law suffered from them from time to time, and I think my own mother does, but she does have the proper medication now. I think she's okay, but you never know. But back then, she was suffering from these anxiety attacks, feeling perhaps the world was out to get her, and in 1965, she died of a heart attack when she was just 48 years old. That's not very old, and probably her smoking and drinking didn't help there, but she might have had the wrong genes for that. Who knows? But in any case, she did die when she was quite young, way back in 1965.
Really young, actually. Well, after her passing, after she passed away, respect and admiration for her work continued to grow. You often find this to be the case with artists, whether they're visual artists, whether they paint, sculpt, things like that, or they write. Sometimes their work just isn't seen for its quality until long after they're gone. So after her passing, that's when respect and admiration really grew. If you admire somebody, you respect them, you approve of them. Here, admiration is the noun form of the verb to admire. And she had some literary legends like Stephen King and Neil Gaiman, who actually called her a profound influence on their own writing. She was someone they had read, and it really influenced their own writing as authors. Profound just means very great, very intense. You can have profound feelings for someone, or someone can have a profound impact on your life, like your parents or your teachers at school.
Yeah, profound basically just means very deep. So she had a deep influence on them, and she also deeply or profoundly influenced writers like Stephen King and Neil Gaiman. I'm pretty familiar with Stephen King. Most of us know most of his stories, and my goodness, many of his books have been made into movies, too numerous to count. But we've also got Neil Gaiman. I don't know if you're a fan of Neil Gaiman, if you've heard of him before. He wrote The Sandman and Neverwhere and American Gods and stuff like that. And they've all called her a profound influence. And so, yeah, I would probably be inspired myself to look for some more Shirley Jackson works and read them. You do hear about stoning going on in the world, so I think this is probably more possible than we care to admit.
Unfortunately, that's the case. Okay, guys, one more time, we're going to listen to our Chinese teacher, and then we'll be back to say goodbye.
我们接着看到第二段的第三句。There were even rumors that Jackson was a witch because she was deeply interested in black magic and witchcraft. 甚至有谣言说杰克森是女巫，因为她对妖术与巫术深感兴趣。本句的 rumor 后面有一个 that 子句，这个 that 子句是名词子句，后面接一个完整句子，当作 rumor 的同位语，也就是 that 子句所指的这件事就是 rumor 的内容。因此本句的 that 不是冠代，不可以用 which 代换。要注意的是，并非所有的名词后面都可以用 that 名词子句作为同位语。常见的这类名词有 fact 事实、 assumption 假设、 rule 规定、 suggestion 建议、 belief 看法、 opinion 意见等等。例如 The students don't like the new rule that they have to clean the classroom after school。学生们不喜欢他们必须在放学后留下来打扫教室的这个新规定。文章的最后一段提到 Jackson 在西元1965年的时候死于心脏病发，在他过世之后，人们仍继续对他的作品表示钦佩和尊敬。我们看到这一段的第一句， Jackson went on to publish 6 novels, several plays and a few children's stories. 杰克森继续发表了六本小说，几出剧本和一些儿童故事。片语 go on 有继续的意思，后面可以接 to 原形动词或是 ving， 但意思会不一样。 go on to 加原形动词是指做完某事后接着做另一件事。例如 After doing the dishes, my mother went on to do the laundry. 我妈妈在洗完碗盘后接着去洗衣服。 go on 加 ving 是指继续做同一件事。例如Even though I tried to change the subject, Bill went on complaining about his professor for 2 hours. 虽然我试着改变话题，但比尔继续抱怨他的教授两个小时。以上就是今天的课程，我们下次再会。
That's all the time we have for today, everybody. It's been a pleasure having you, but please stay tuned and listen to our program next time when we go back to talk about our featured story, The Lottery.The lottery you don't want to win. From all of us here at English Digest, I'm Tom.
I'm Stephanie.
Goodbye.
Bye.